You're my father.
What's your father got to say? We have been learning Chulin for a few years, and we're up to Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We didn't go straight, but we learned a lot. We dedicate the learning tonight to Zecha Nishmas Rabbi Shulei Ben Harav Shilein, Dr. Landisman's father, whom I knew from Washington Heights. Yes. We're up to the Mishneh Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, I think. Yeah, we did. Last week we did a Mishneh Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. We did most of the Gemara there, but we had skipped this, so maybe we'll cover this Gemara. We'll learn that tonight, and next week will be the last year. And then after the summer, we'll have to pick a different Masechta. We'll have to start something new. Okay. So the Mishnah has a din b'chor shenisareh b'meyo. A Jewish person owns a farm, and a firstborn Vlad is born to one of the cows, a behemoth Torah, and it's a male, it's a zachar. So b'chor behemoth Torah is kodesh meirechem, and it's one of the matnas kohuna. He's supposed to give it to the kohanim. So the Gemara explains that the Mishnah is talking about a situation. We already gave the Bechor. The Mishnah was written after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So you can't be makar of the Bechor. So what do? You have to wait till it gets a mum. Any other carbon that gets a mum, you have to be poda, with the exception of Bechor and Maisa Behema. Those are the two carbonas that don't need pidyon. You just wait till it gets a mum kavua, and then you're allowed to shech the chutz le Beis HaMikdash. So the Bechor is one of the matnas kahuna. So if it's a Bechor b'zman HaMikdash, you're makrit it in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim eat it. If it's after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait till it gets a mum, and then it's a Matan Skuna. It's one of the 24 Matan Skuna, you have to give it to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim, it's Matan Skuna, but they can give it to a non-Kohen to eat. It's not true, it can only be eaten by a Kohen. But Maaser Rishon doesn't have to be eaten by a Levi, it's Mammon HaLevim, but they can give it to non-Levim. And b'chor b'ema Torah, if it's nechal b'muma, if it has a mum, and you shecht it chutz l'migdosh, so it doesn't have to be eaten dafke by a kohen. So the Gemara says, we're talking about, the Gemara, the first line of the Gemara explains, we're talking about a b'chor b'ema Torah, and we gave it to the kohen, and then it got a mum, or the, let's say it didn't yet get a mum, and then the kohen can't be makrovit, there's no Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash in the state of Churban. So the kohen sells it to a non-kohen. He says you have to wait till it gets a mum kavua, and then you can shecht it and eat it. So this, and the non-kohen who bought the behemoth, the Israel, who bought this bechor, has another 100 animals, and he forgot to put the label on this animal. So now it's all mixed up together. He doesn't know which animal is the bechor, which animal is not the bechor, so he can't shecht anything until he gets a mum. So as soon as something gets a mum, you can shecht it. Either this is the b'chor and you're allowed to shecht it b'zman shein beis hamikdash kaim, if it gets a mekom you shecht it, and if it's one of the other 99 animals, so it's a behemas chulin, so of course you're allowed to shecht it. So you have to wait till any given animal gets a mum, and then you can shecht that animal. So do you have to give zro l'chayayim ha'keva or not? So the Mishnah says it depends. If 100 different people are going to shecht 100 different animals, one of them is a b'chor and all the others are regular behemas chulin. So when you shecht a b'chor, it already has kedusha, and even after, let's say, a korban gets any other korban other than b'chor ma'isa, gets a mum kavua, so you paid it, and yotze l'chulin. But when it's yotze l'chulin, we had the Mishnah already earlier, it's not legamre yotze l'chulin. It still retains a certain degree of kedusha. Once an animal has a kedusha from his be'ach, the kedusha is not going to disappear. Even after pidyon, it's not going to disappear. So the mashal, one of the dinim is that a behema, it's called psuli hamikdashim, mishor psuli hamikdashim, akarbim shehumam v'nivde, even after you paid it, is oisa tmura. If I say in a behema schulman, harezu tachazu, I violated aver of loyach lifanu v'loyam aroisa, and it's nitfaz b'kedusha. only a korban is oisei tmura. If it's a behemas chulin, it's not teifas tmura asai. But that's the din, that the korban shuhumam v'nifte, or the b'chor behemot, or the b'chor in the meiser, that gets a mumen, it doesn't have to be nifte, it retains, he can shecht it, but it retains the kedusha. So the din is when you shecht it, it's not a regular behemas chulin, and it's not chayib zolach hayayim v'hakevel. So if one person is going to shecht all 100 animals, so for sure, he knows that one of them is a pchor, and is potter from Zohar L'chayayim HaKev, but the other 99 are not a pchor. So he has to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKev from 99 of the 100 animals, one animal he's potter. So let him use his brain. So din is amotzei machaveiro l'varei. Whenever there's a suffix moment, so the muchzor keeps it. So the one person who owns the 100 animals, one of them is a pchor, and all the 99 are not. So let him consider, we're not sure which is the pchor, which is not. So the most expensive animal, let him consider that one the pchor. We don't know. So let him consider that one the pchor. And he doesn't have to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva from that one. The Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva from a more expensive animal, from a fatter animal, is probably going to be worth more money. Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva together is probably worth $100-$500 or something. It's a big chunk of the animal. So the animal that's most valuable, so he'll say, Hamotzei machaveiro l'varei. I'm potter from giving from the 100 animals, 99 of the animals, when I shecht, I do have to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva to the Kohen, and one animal I don't have to give. I don't know which animal I'm potter, which animal I'm chayv. I can't identify, no one can identify which is the pchor, which is potter, and which are the 99 that are chayv. So Hamotzei machaveiro l'varei, so misofik, the one who owns all 100 animals can pick the most expensive animal and say, maybe that's the pchor, and I don't have to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva on that. And the other 99 he'll give.
Does he have to wait for a mum for all the 100 animals?
Each time an animal gets, he doesn't know which one is the pchor, so he has to wait till each one gets a mum, and then he can shecht it. Yeah. Taisus says the case is that all 100 already have a mum. And others say, what do you have to... The Teferis Yankif writes over here. He a lot of times has tightness against Taisus. Yankif Gesundheit, as the Rav in Warsaw. So he wrote a knockout sefer on Gittin and a knockout sefer on Chulin, the Ferris Yankee. So a lot of times he disagrees with Taisvis, Shverit Taisvis. So he doesn't understand why Taisvis says over here that it's talking here the Taisvis Bizman. Taisvis writes that all 100 have a mum. He says, what do you have to say, all 100 have a mum? It got mixed in, one b'chor got mixed in with 99 behemoth Chulin. You can't shecht anything till it gets a mum, because maybe this is the b'chor. You can't shecht any one of them. And then, even if you shechted one, you have to wait till the next one gets a mum. Because each one is a suffix. But as far as a suffix, mamayna lekula, hamotzei machaveiro l'varei. So let him take the most expensive and say, maybe this is the pchor, and I'm potter from Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva on this one. But what if that's if one person is going to shecht all 100? So he has to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva 99. And on one of them, the most expensive one, the most valuable one, he doesn't have to give. Maybe that's the pchor. And the pchor is not chayv. When you shecht the pchor, it's kochim, not chayv in Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva. But if you have 100 different people shechting them, 100, the pchor got mixed in with another 99. You don't know which is which. And then the owner of the 100 sells them to 100 different people. Each person is shechting one animal. So each one of the 100 people is shechts. Is potter from giving Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva. Maybe he's the lucky winner. Maybe that one is the pchor. Maybe this one is the pchor. See, each person doesn't have to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva. No one has to give Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva. That's what the Mishnah says. Bizman shemeyo shochtim es kulam. When 100 different people are shechting the 100 different animals, so the din is poichim es kulam. We potter all 100 from giving Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva. Maybe you're the lucky winner, maybe you're shechting the Bechor, maybe he's shechting the Bechor. Whoever is shechting the Bechor is part of from giving Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva.
Why do you make it with everybody in Yamach Square, with the individual?
If it's one person shechting all 100, so we know what the facts are. 99 are behemoth chulin, and one is a Bechor. So we know for sure. We know with our eyes closed that all 99 are chayv in Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva, and one is Potter. You don't know which is Potter. Yeah. So he said, Hamotzei machaveiro l'varei, you say the most valuable, the most expensive one, he'll keep the Zohar L'chayayim HaKeva for himself. Let's say there's a suffix where they have to give Pidyon HaBen. When you do Pidyon HaBen, you say a bracha. So it's a Sofik mitzvah. So one might have thought incorrectly, mistakenly, that a Sofik deraisa l'chumra. If you have a Sofik got paid your ben, maybe you're obligated to give the money because Sofik deraisa l'chumra is Sofik mitzvah. So the Mishnah say not so. Whenever there's a Sofik pidyon ben, we say amoytzim machaver, all of a riot. The father of the baby is buchzik in his money, so he doesn't have to give. You don't say Sofik deraisa l'chumra. Say Sofik mamana l'kula. So the same over here. If 100 different people are shechting 100 different animals, it could be that he is shechting the b'char, could be he shechting, we don't know. Could be anybody shechting the b'char. Echad shechet es kulam, but if only one person owns all 100, he's going to shecht all, not going to shecht all of them in one day, he's going to shecht one this week, one next week. For yontem, he's going to shecht two or three, to have more flesh for yontem. So then, poch m'lay echad, then you say he doesn't have to give, so all
chayav
akev on
what? Can you sell the b'char?
So the Bchor is supposed to be one of the 24 Matan Skunim. The Gemara says he's supposed to give it to the Kohen. So we're talking about a case they already gave it to the Kohen, but there's no Beis HaMikdash, he can't be Makrivit. So the Kohen has to wait till it gets a Mum, or he sells it to a Yisrael, and he says, wait till it gets a Mum, and then you can Shecht and eat it. So then when he's waiting to Shecht and eat it, he sold it to Yisrael, and then when he's waiting, it got mixed up with another 99 Behemoths, and you can't identify. There's no way to identify which is which. So that's the first line in the Mishnah. Then the next, second line in the Mishnah. I'm shechet l'kohen lov kacham. I'm a shechet, and I'm shechting on behalf of a kohen. So the din is kohanim are not mechuyev to give zro l'chayim v'kevet to somebody else. They can keep it themselves. And if a non-Jew, let's say, owns a slaughterhouse, and he has the Jewish shechet to shecht the behemoth for him. So true, it's a Jewish shechet, but the Jewish shechet doesn't own the behemoth. The behemoth is owned by a non-Jew. This is not from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nach. The non-Jew is not mechuyev to give Zol HaChayim HaKevah. So even though the Sheikhet is Jewish, and they're going to package it, it's under supervision, it's under Hashgacha, and they're going to sell it to the Jews, but you're not, the non-Jew is not mechuyev to give Zol HaChayim HaKevah. So that's when the Mishnah says, HaSheikhet L'Koyim Elov Kachavim, if the Sheikhet shechts on behalf of, means the animal that I'm shechting belongs to a Koyim, or belongs to a Nachri, Potem and Amatonis. The Gemara asks, why is it written in such a funny way? Hashecht on behalf of a kohen. Hashecht on behalf of a goy. Why doesn't it say, if the goy or the kohen are the owners of the animal, you're not chayiv in Zor L'chayiv. Why does it say, he's shechting on behalf? So the Mishnah implies, if he shecht on behalf of another Jew, whose responsibility is it to give the Zor L'chayiv? Let's say they ask me to shecht the baby. I come and I shecht and I walk away. So the din is no. If I shecht the behemoth, it's my responsibility, even though it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to another Jew, it's my responsibility to see to it that the Zor L'chayim HaKevah is given away. And that's what the Gemara said. That's why the Mishnah wrote it backwards. Instead of saying that Kohanim and Nachrim are potter from Zor L'chayim HaKevah, it says the Shechet who shechts on behalf of the guy, on behalf of the Nachri, doesn't have to give. The Mashma is being that if a Jewish Shechet shechts on behalf of another Jew who owns the animal, then the shechet is mechuyev to give, even though it's not his. The din is that you always have tovus hanoa. Let's say I'm a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, and I designate you can't eat anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael. Everything is tevel. You can't eat anything unless you mafrish trumas amasis. So you mafrish 2% as truma. So the farmer has what we call tovus hanoa. He has a right to pick which coin he wants to give it to. Over here also, the owner of the behemoth has the right to pick which coin he wants to give the Zor L'chayim HaKevah to. The owner of the behemoth has tovus hanoa. But it's the responsibility of the shechet to see to it that it's taken care of. Shechet can't say, I was just hired to shecht, I did my job and goodbye. I get paid my salary and I'm leaving. This is not my mitzvah. No. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that it's the mitzvah's mutal on the shechet. If the animal belongs to another Jew, he has to Shechet has to see to it that the owner gives the Zor L'chayim HaKevah. And what if there's a shutvis between we said that we today don't observe this mitzvah. All over the world we don't observe the mitzvah because Rashi comments on the Gemara, Kuf Lamed Vav on the base. The Gemara says, No, Gama Kahani Plas Sovi. Here, it's right in the middle of the daf. It says on the left-hand margin, Brochas Daf Chav Beis. Amar Amnach Mayitzchak Ha'idna today, no galma, the minig is, Kahani Klasavi, all the Tanoim from the earlier generation, minig is that we follow the Shitas HaYachad of the time. Usually Yachad V'Rab Malachik HaRabim, here the minute developed by the religious Jews, we follow the following three Tanaim. So one of them is that Reishis, I guess, you only give in Eretz Yisrael. The Tanaim and the Mishnah disagree. Here, Perek Reishis, I guess. The opening Mishnah, Kuf Lamed Hei, Amar Aleph says, Reishis, I guess, is a din in the Chumash. If you shear off the wool from a number of sheep, and the wool has a minimum value, minimum weight, how many pounds of wool do you have, then there's an obligation to give some of the wool to the Kohen. And they'll be able to make sweaters out of it, clothing out of it. So that's called Reishis Hages. So the Mishnah starts off, Reishis Hages applies, it's not an agricultural mitzvah that it should be restricted only to itself, not like Trumas and Maestris. So it says Reishis Hages applies, but Oretz of Chutz Lords. Bifnei Abayis, we should love Bifnei Abayis. So the Gemara says on Kuf Lamed Vav and Beis that the Nidin Ko'ilim is that we don't give Reishis Hages and Chutz Lords. We follow the Shitas HaYochid. Even though normally Yachid Rabbim Halachik Rabbim, he followed the opinion of Rabbi Loi, who was an older Tana, Hali Tlasovi, from the earlier generations of Tanoi. There were quite a few generations of Tanoi. So he followed the opinion of Rabbi Loi that Reish HaGez only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi comments on that Gemara, not only Reish HaGez, Zvala Chayayim HaKeva also. We don't give Zvala Chayayim HaKeva. And Taisvis and all the Rishonim are unhappy with that. The Gemara never said that. There never was such an opinion that is. Zerola Chayayim HaKeva only applies in Eretz Yisrael. This Tana, the Rabbi Eloi, only says about Reish HaGez. He never said about Zerola Chayayim HaKeva. I think I mentioned when we started the parak that there's a young Labarachet, Talmid Chacham, who put out a whole book and he quotes every Rishon under the sun as disagreeing with Rashi, and he's encouraging all the kashrus organizations all over the world that they should give away to the Kohanim the Zerola Chayayim HaKeva. What do they do in Eretz Yisrael? So for sure you have to give Zerola Chayayim HaKeva. So what they do is they make a shutris with a nachri, or a shutris with a koyim. Shutris with a nachri, not so smart, unless you know who the nachri is. You have to know who your shutrim are. So if the Gemara says if you make a shutris with a koyim, then there's no chiv at all to give Zerola Chayayim HaKeva. As long as the koyim is a part shutif, even if he's less than 50-50 shutif, he's a partner in the behemoth that's being geshochten, so he partner from the whole mitzvah of Zerola Chayayim HaKeva.
And we hold every kohen today as actually being a kohen?
Yeah, we require, there's a din that when Ezra came back after the 70 years of the Golas Babel, and he brought back, the whole idea of coming back was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos, so he started to check around, and they Bikshuk Sadam Hamasyachsen Velomot So, Pasuk says in Ezra, they asked everybody to produce a Ksav Yichas, and many of them could not. And Nigo'alu Min HaKuhuna, they were rejected from Kuhuna. So today it's assumed that that was only a Chumra Midirabbanan that Ezra introduced, that you need a Kohen Miyuchas who has to have a Ksav Yichas, that he should be allowed to be Makrov Karbonis. But Mikra Din, Kohane Chazoka, 100% bona fide Kohan. That's what we assume. And the Chumra was only, and that's what Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha was a big rabbi in Kalish. He was a big Zionist leader. He was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived in Germany, in Posen. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha wrote this open letter to Baron Rothschild that he should put up money, we should build a Beis HaMikdash, we should bring Karbanos, and maybe it'll turn out that you'll be the Melech HaMashiach. Because the Rambam says that the one who will succeed in building Beis HaMikdash may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. If he's from the Malchus Beis David, I don't know if Rothschild was from the Malchus Beis David, but that was the letter that he wrote him. And so he published such a sefer, Drishas Tzion. We should try to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So he sent his kuntris to Rebbe Kivega, his Rebbe, and Rebbe Kivega sent it to his son-in-law, the Chas HaMashiach, and they both agreed with everything that he said. That yes, that we assume Kohanim today are real Vadai Kohanim. The only thing is, it's a Chumra Midrabbanan that they can't be Makar of Karbanis. And they agreed to the suggestion of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha that this Chumra Midrabbanan was only introduced at the beginning of the Barishani period. There were enough Kohanim to run the Beis HaMikdash without the Kohanim Chazok. So there you have a Chumra Midrabbanan. But Bizman Hazeh, in the middle 1800s, when Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha was writing, if you're going to insist on Kohanim Yuchasim to run the Beis HaMikdash, if we'll build the Beis HaMikdash, and you'll insist on Kohanim Yechosim, you won't be able to bring Korbanos. There are hardly any Kohanim Yechosim, very few Kohanim Yechosim around today. So if it means that you won't bring Korbanos, then Rav Tzvi Eshkalos has suggested, Lo Chomer Midrabanan shouldn't apply. So Rabbi Kiveger agreed, and Nachsam Sof agreed. So that was a major change in the thinking of the Poskim. Until that time, many of the Poskim assumed that all the Kohanim today are Sofik Kohanim. They're not, that's why they can't be Makar Kabbalahs, because Kohanim Chazakah are just Sofik Kohanim. So that was always difficult. So how can a Kohen say a bracha Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushos Shalaharan? How does he get the first Aliyah and Nishgatah and say a bracha and Pidyu Rabbeh? If it's only a suffix, so how can you say a bracha? Should be, you say a mitzvah machaveh alav harayah. Who knows if he's not a kohen? So you're not yet to the mitzvah pidyon aben. So Reb Kiveger agreed with Reb Tzvi Eshkalos, no, kohanim today avadei kohanim. It was just a chumra with the rabbanim with respect to hakrovas hakrabanos. And if it means because of the chumra of requiring kohanim miyuchasim, it means you're just not going to bring karbanos. So mistaber that the whole chumra with the rabbanim wouldn't apply at all. So that was a major change. In the middle 1800s, there was a major change. All the poskim accepted this new way of thinking.
Don't you
have Novi to build Beis Medrash? Yeah, that was what they timed it against him. There's a Chula Shalosh, it was Binyan Tzia, by Tzvi Hirsch, by Abyanka Bettlinger. So the first two Chuvas are to Rab Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher regarding Binyan Tzia. That's why the name of the Shalosh and Chuvas is Binyan Tzia. Because the first two tshuvas went to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash without approval of a Navi, without supervision of a Navi. The Sifrei learns that from a pasuk L'shicht and Sidrishu and Rosh Alpi Navi. The verb Tidrishu has the connotation Alpi Navi. Right. Even though the Gemara never says that, this drush only appears in the Sifrei, but the Gemara does say, Gimel Nevi'im Olami Mahami Bavel. When they came back from Golas Bavel, the Baruch Shalom was angry at Bnei Yisrael, didn't want to send any Nevi'im, but he sent three Nevi'im, and each one gave a Nevu'ah about a different aspect of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So the Mashmos of the Gemara is that the only reason why they were allowed to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash was because they had the Nevi'im, who gave the authorization. If they wouldn't have had Nevi'im, they wouldn't have been allowed to. Right? So it would appear from the Gemara that the Gemara holds from this drasha and this Sifrei.
They said the
Yeah, they say the Vilna Gaon was a firstborn, he was a Pchor, and indeed a Pidyon HaBen. His parents made, his father made a Pidyon HaBen on him when he was 30 days old, 31 days old. But every time he met another Kohen, he never knew who's a Kohen Miyuchas, hardly anybody. So he would do the Pidyon HaBen all over again. Maybe this Kohen will be the right. But most people don't do that. Nobody else does that. So we assume the Kohanim Abadei Kohanim. If they'll be Sof Kohanim, they wouldn't be able to say a bracha on the Pidyon HaBen, they wouldn't be able to say a bracha on the Duchenin. It's a Sofik bracha levatola. Yeah. So the Mishnah says, HaMishtatefi Mahem, if someone makes a shutfus with a Nochri in the Behemoth, before you shecht them, if someone makes a shutfus with the Koyin, Imahem means plural, either with the Koyin or with the Nochri. So the din is that he's potter from Matonis, he doesn't have to give anything. But the people are going to look. It's going to be a Marizayin story over here. The guy shechts a behemoth and he doesn't give his relevant bakev. Are you talking? What's going on? So they used to have a practice. They used to put some kind of marking on the flesh. If it belonged to a kohen or belonged to a levi, we had the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago. We learned that it's a suffix whether levim are obligated to give his relevant bakev because the pasuk says ze yemish pata kohen meis om. So the Gemara had a machlokes hatanaim where the applies to Levim or not. That was the machlokes hatanaim, the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph on the base, and the last 10 lines. And Rav was mesupik, which tana to paskan like. Rav was mesupik. The Rav, the Gemara says mesapkalei kehaytana kehaytana. So because of the suffix, so he says Levim don't have to give Zera lachayim v'hakeva. What happens if the Kohen goes and he grabs the Zerah, a Levi, Shech Tzabehema, and he does want to give Zerah L'chayayim V'akeva, because Hamotz Mechaver Olav Harai. What happens if the Kohen goes and he grabs it? So then you say, now Hamotz Mechaver Olav Harai, the Kohen is out of Muchzak, and the Levi can't demand it back. What do you say? No. Since when the latest Hasafik occurred, when the Shaila began, namely, when the Levi Shechted the Behema, the Sofik was Chal then. Is he obligated to give Zerah L'chayayim V'akeva? At that time, he was Muchzak on the whole Behema. He was Muchzak on the Zerah L'chayayim V'akeva. Muchzak means it was Tachas Yodai. It's Bishusai. So then the din was always get paskin that I'm motza machaber all of our. So once the din is always get paskin, even if the kohen is going to grab it, the muchzik status is not going to switch. Since the levi was the muchzik, b'shas leidus al sotek, so the din should remain like that. So that's the sugya and bab metziya. And the above and bab metziya, the gemara is a shaila. A woman gives birth to a baby, and we're not sure, a baby boy, we're not sure whether she's chayv to give pidyon haben or not. She had a miscarriage before, but the miscarriage only counts that the next baby is not chayv in pidyon haben if the vlad had a tzuris of vlad. It has to be a minimum of 40 days, 43, 44 days, something like that. It's a 44 days, it's an inch by an inch, it's a teeny weeny little thing, but it already has a tzuris of vlad. Already has the shape of a human figure, even though it's only an inch by an inch. So a lot of times a woman has a miscarriage after 43 days, she doesn't even realize it. She may not even, she won't even realize. You have to look at it to see whether it has a tzuris of blood. So the next baby that's born, if it's a boy, is a suffix, but they have to give pidyon haben. So the din is amotza machaber olav haraya, the father of the baby does not have to give. Suffix b'mayna l'kula. So the Gemara has a shaila. What if the kohen grabbed the money from the aviyah ben? Do you say talk for kohen? The kohen grabbed it. Talk for kohen. That's the famous sugya of talk for kohen. Talk for kohen. Matzi noisa miyada. We take it away from the kohen. We give it back to the father because the father was muchzik at the time of Leidus HaSafik. Leidus HaSafik was when their second baby was born and the yom lamed aleph comes. The suffik was asked to give pidyon haben. So we say he doesn't have to give. The father is the muchzik. So do you say whoever was muchzik b'shas Leidus HaSafik becomes always get paskin in his favor? So even if the kohen grabs it now, you're not going to say now hamotz machavel of harayu, the kohen can keep it, the father can't get it back. Or do you say no, it'll keep on switching back and forth? If the kohen grabs it, we'll say now hamotz machavel of harayu, the kohen is muchzik and the father can pressure the kohen to give it back, and the father will grab it back. Then the father's muchzik, the kohen is hamotz machavel of harayu. So that's a sugyim bab metziah. So most of the Rishonim read this sugya in Bab Metziah that it comes to the conclusion that talk for koyim atzin oisem yoda. Whoever was muchzak b'shas leidus asofik is always get paskin and it doesn't switch and it stays like that. That's Rashi and Tosfos and most of the Rishonim. And the Rambam and the Rashba paskin not so. That talk for koyim ain't atzin oisem yoda. So in the Shulchan Aruch, every time such a case comes up, and the Chabra always writes like the Rambam. That talk for kainay metzina semiyada, and the Rama will always write like Tosfos. That talk like Rashi and Tosfos. Talk for kainay metzina semiyada.
Why don't we say that as far as property, okay, hamotz mechaber al haray, but as far as the mitzvah, there are two aspects here. There's the property aspect, but there's also a mitzvah. So as far as the mitzvah,
something deraisa lechumra.
Right.
So that's what the Mishnah says. Whenever the mitzvah has to do with money, even though you say a bracha and it's a mitzvah, you don't apply the rules of Safik Daraisa L'chumra. Since the mitzvah, the nature, the essence of the mitzvah is to give money, it's governed with the rules of Safik Mamayna L'kula. That's a Mishnah. A lot of Mishnah is like that. Let's say I'm a farmer and the cow had a miscarriage and we're not sure whether that counts as a miscarriage. Maybe it was too early in the formation of the fetus and it doesn't count. And then the cow gives birth to a male. The next vlad is a male, so it's a tzafik b'char. If the first miscarriage doesn't count, so this is the b'char. What do you do if you have a tzafik b'char? So the din is you don't have to give it away to the kohanim, hamotzi machaveh olav harayah, but it's also b'gizav avodah, because it's a tzafik iser, tzafik isur l'chumer. So also b'gizav avodah, you can't shecht it till it gets a mum. But you're not obligated to give it to the kohanim, because the matnas tuna mitzvah, that's an inyan of mamayna. That's been on machavera. So the owner of the farm is the muchzok. So you say, I'm oitz machavera, love her, I doesn't have to give it. So Tosfos points out, I think 2 weeks ago, we learned the Gemara, what if you have a hybrid? The Gemara says, b'chor is that a kosher animal and a not kosher animal cannot possibly mate together to have lotus. But two kosher animals can, even a behemah and a chaya, can mate together and give birth to a vlad. So what if you have, the mother is a behemah and the father is a chaya? So do you say, ein choshishim lezera ha'av? That was a machlokes hatanoim. Where they say, choshishim lezera ha'av, ein choshishim lezera ha'av. By human beings, the person is misyachas after the father and after the mother. He's a kohen or a levi, depending on the father. Or by non-Jews, he's an amaleki, a mitzri, a daimi, knaini, prizi, chivi, busi. What nationality he belongs to, if both parents are non-Jewish, what nationality he belongs to is established by the father. So it's clear that there is a yachas by human beings, both by Jews and non-Jews, there is a yachas between the baby and the father. What about by behemoth? Maybe by behemoth there's only a yachas to the mother. Maybe ein choshishim mezera ha'av. Biologically, of course, he carries over the DNA from the father and from the mother. We're not talking biologically. It's not a scientific suffix. It's a halachic suffix whether there's any yachas between the vlad and the father. So that's a sveikah d'dina. Yovel is considered a sveikah d'dina. So how is it relevant over here? The mitzvah of giving zroah l'chayam v'akev only applies if you shechtim shorim seh. If it's a behema gasa, behema daka. Shor is a behema gasa. Behema gasa, the pregnancy is 9 months. And says behema daka, the pregnancy is a 5 month pregnancy. A different behema gasa, behema daka, not just that this is much fatter than that one. It's a difference in the whole nature of the animal, whether it's a 9 month pregnancy or a 5 month pregnancy. So if you have a vlad is born and it's a kilayim, the father of this vlad is a chaya and the mother is a behema. So mitzad the mother, the vlad is at least a half behema. If you ain choshishim lezera ha'av, ain choshishim, so the vlad is full behema. Even though biologically he's half chaya, half behema, biologically, but halachically, if you say in choshim lezera ha'av, it's not misyach zefta. The father says full behema. If you hold choshishim lezera ha'av, then the vlad is half behema, half chaya. So if the vlad is assumed, if you hold choshishim lezera ha'av, the vlad is half behema, half chaya, would you be chayv in zroah l'chayam akeva when you shech the vlad? So the Gemara says a question, where he says, seh, afilu mikta seh, or seh, only kola seh. Because the Pasuk says, how does the Pasuk read? The Pasuk about zroah l'chayam, zeyye mishpat ha'kanim, eesam, eesav, ha'zevach, imshor, imseh. And asam l'chayam, zroah l'chayam akeva. So it says seh, it says a behemo, so the Gemara has the shot. Do you say seh afilu mikta seh? Oh no, mikta seh not. So if you hold yes, mikta seh, so what if the vlad is half behemo, half chaya? So the Gemara said, you want to give chatzi matonis. If the behemo is a vlad, the father is a chaya, and the mother is a behemo, and you hold choshishim lezer ha'am, and you hold seh afilu mikta seh, so the vlad is a half behemo, half chaya. So the one who shechts the vlad has to give chatzi hamatonis. So let's say the zroah l'chayam v'akev is worth $500. Expensive stuff, $500. So he has to give $200 worth of it to the kohen. The other $250 he can keep for himself. Yechayv hef. So Tosfos points out over here, what if you have a shutfus between a nochri and a Jew who own the animals in the slaughterhouse? Or between a Yisrael and a kohen? So the Kohen owns 50% of the behema, and Israel owns 50% of the behema. So Kohanim and Anochrim are not obligated to give Zroah l'chayam hakeva. It's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs, Ben Erech, Ben Rochim, and not Mechui. And the Kohen is also not Mechui. A Kohen is obligated to be mafish Trumas and Maisers, but he doesn't have to give away the Truman and Maiser to somebody else. He can keep it for himself. So the Mishnah says over here, if the behema is owned b'shutfis, between a Yisrael and an Och, a Yisrael and a Kohen, you're not mechuyev at all to give Zroah l'chayam v'akev. So Tosfos says, why shouldn't you be mechuyev to give half? Half of it belongs to Yisrael. So they say, no. If there's a shutfus Kohen, a shutfus Akum, it patters you completely. But if the Vlad is a half Zeh, half Chaya, then you have to give half Matanis. It's not the same. Tosfos just points out, that's what it says on this daf. Earlier on the daf it says if the vlad is a half behema, half chaya, so you only have to give chatzi matanis. And here, if it's half, the vlad is owned half by the kohen or by the nachrin, half by the Israel, you're not mechuyev at all to give zroah l'chayam v'akev. So the Mishnah just raises an issue. The people see me shechtim behema, they know that I'm going to eat part of the flesh, I am a shutif, and I'm not giving the Zroah l'chayam hakeva. The mitzvah is incumbent upon the shechet. the minute he shechts, he's supposed to give Zorach Hayim HaKeva. So they used to have a practice in the days of the Tanaim that they used to put some kind of a marker on the flesh when it was potter from Zorach Hayim HaKeva because it was owned by Kohen. It was because it was owned by a non-Jew. So if it's owned partially by Kohen, partially by a non-Jew, then the Mishnah says, Zorach Sheyirsham. If the Israel has a shutus with the Kohen, a shutus with the Nochri, so the din is that he's part of the Gamri, he doesn't even have to give Chatzi Matonis, doesn't have to give on his share, but Tzorch Sheyirsham has to put the marker on the flesh so everybody will know. There shouldn't be a Marisai. They shouldn't think that he's Mevatel Mitzvah. So you have to put on a marker on the flesh so people shouldn't be choshen him that he's not fulfilling the Mitzvah. The Imamar, what if a Kohen sells me a Behemah? And he says, a live animal. The Kohen sells me a live animal. He says, I sell you all the organs of the animal except for three. The Zroah, the Chayayim, and the Keva. That still belongs to me. So what's the din? That's not really a Shutvas Kohen. Shutvas Kohen is a different kind of thing. Shutvas Kohen means the whole animal is owned 50-50 or 70-30. The Kohen owns 70%, the Kohen owns 30%, he owns 20%, whatever share he owns. Here we're talking, he owns these specific parts of the animal. So he owns the Yisrael HaChayim HaKevi. Imamar, if the Kohen sells a live animal to Yisrael, and he says, I'm selling you all the organs of the animal, chutzman hamatonais. So when the Yisrael shechts it, also, potam and hamatonais. The Yisrael who shechts it, not mechit to give matonais. The matanas belong to the Kohen. That was what they made up in advance. So just like there's a din, a shutfus akum 50-50, you don't have to give any matanas at all, shutfus Kohen, you don't have to give anything, even if the Kohen is not a shutf on the whole bent, he just owns the Zolach Hayam HaKeva, he's not mechuyev to give the matanas. You have to put a marker on to make sure there won't be a marisai. You have to put sarsha yirsham. You have to put a marker that people will realize you're not being without limits.
It's going to keep the Zolach Hayam HaKeva.
What?
It's going to wind up by the Kohen anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to a Kohen.
Okay, maybe. Maybe there's no Marisai here. That could be. Okay. But the din is that it's not that you get to the mitzvah. You're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. You're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. You don't say a bracha. I don't know if you say a bracha when you give Zorah Chayam HaKev to the Kohen. I don't know. When you mafresh chumas and maisas, you say a bracha. When you give it to the Kohen, I don't think you say a bracha. When you give Pidyon HaBen to the Kohen, you do say a bracha. What about when you give Zorah Chayam HaKev to the Kohen? We haven't been observing it for centuries, since the days of Rashi. No one has been observing the chutzlo, the mitzvah of Zorah Chayam HaKev. So I don't know if you're supposed to say a bracha. We should look in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe it says there, whether you say a bracha when you're about to give it. Like Pidyon HaBen, you do say a bracha when you're about to give it to the Kohen. So here, in this case, the Kohen keeps it, not because we're fulfilling the mitzvah. You're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. Since the Zolach HaYam HaKeva belongs to the Kohen, you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. The last two lines in the Mishnah were quoted earlier already, and we learned it already. Omar, Mechor li b'nei me'eho shel poro. Someone shechts a beima, and I say, I want to buy all the kishkas inside. And included in the kishka is the keva. Part of the belly is called the keva. So I buy a whole thing. I pay him $250 to buy all the kishkas. Part of it is the keva, part of it is not the keva. Voy behem matonas, and included in the kishkas inside is part of the matonas. The zroa is the front leg on the right side. That's not included in the b'nei me'ayin. And the chayayim, the lechi is the tongue with the cheek. That's not included. But the keva is included. So the din is, I paid the sheikh $250, and he gives me all the kishkas inside. So I have the keva. So I have to give it away to the kohen. No son of the kohen. Veinim and akolam and adam. I give it to the kohen. I pay $250 for all the kishkas, and the keva alone is worth $100. So why did I have to pay the owner of the behemah $250? I should have only paid him $150. The $100 that the keva is worth, that he was mechuyev to give it to the kohen. So it says, Fafal, you ain't a manakala min adam. I can't go back to the sheikhet who sold it to me and tell him, I want you to refund me $100 because the keva was there. I told him in advance, I want to buy all the kishkas, and I know everybody, it's not a secret. included in the kishkis is the keva, which is a matnas kavuna, and I agreed to pay $250, take it or leave it. So I agreed to pay. So I paid him the money. I can't ask him for a refund. However, what if I say I want to buy all the kishkas, everything, the whole thing, and it includes the keva, and he's going to sell it to me by the weight? It's going to be $5 a pound. And he said, so what do you mean? He's selling me, he's charging me for the weight of the keva. You had no right to sell that in the first place. You can't say, and then they weighed it, and it turns out that it's $250 because it's $5 a pound, and it's 50 pounds. So then the Mishnah says, Ukachman man of the Mishkal, if he bought it from the one who was selling, the one who shechted the animal, he sells it to me by weight, $5 a pound, and now I have all the kishkas inside. So among the kishkas is the keva. So nosna the kohen, number one, I have to give away the keva to the kohen. The rest of the kishkas I can keep. However, there, minakalo, minador. He had no right to charge me for the $5 a pound for the keva. It didn't belong to him. It belonged to Shevet Kahuna. The minute you shech the animal, the keva already belongs to the Shevet Kahuna. That's a fascinating Mishnah. So first, the Gemara straightens out the first line in the Mishnah. What do you mean, a b'chor behemah Torah got mixed up with another 99 behemoths of chul, and you don't know which is which. So you potter from giving matanas. If a keret, it should be mimanam shechid. You have to give the whole animal. If it's a b'chor, the whole animal is a matnas kuna. And if it's a behemah chulin, so you have to give zvala chayayim v'akeva. How come you potter? Gemara says, no, we're talking about a situation. We had a b'chor behemah Torah, and we gave it to the kohen. We already gave it to the kohen. Then the kohen either waited till it gets a mum, then he sells it to the Israel, or he doesn't wait till it gets a mum. He sells it to the Israel, and he says, don't shecht it till it gets a mum. So then, after he sold it to the Israel, then it got mixed in with another 99 animals. So you can't say, Yiman of shecht the Israel, who shechts one of the 100 animals has to give either the whole animal to the kohen, either the whole animal is the b'chor, or you have to give zvala chayim v'akeva because it's a chulin. Now we're talking, this b'chor already was given to the kohen, and the kohen sold it to a Yisrael. So the matnas kuna of kohen was taken, of b'chor was taken care of. The thing that was not taken care of is the zvala chayim v'akeva. So that we learn pshat in the Mishnah. So then on the next line in the Mishnah wrote the funny way. Mishnah, the second line in the Mishnah, one who shechts on behalf of a kohen, they only call me up, I should shecht and I should leave. I shecht on behalf of a kohen, I shecht on behalf of a non-Jew, and he's going to package it under supervision, under hashgach, and he's going to sell it all over the world. Yeah. So it says, I'm potter man amatora. So why does it write it like that? So the Gemara asks, on the third line from the top of Kuflam and Beis, on Beis, for listening, why doesn't the Mishnah write? Listening means in the Mishnah, Masnisen. Why doesn't the Mishnah write it easier? Koyim v'akum p'turim and amatanas. Say koanim and goyim apotter from matnas kuna. Oh my Rabbi, no. Why does it write that the one who shechts on behalf of a nochri is not chayiv? Say a nochri is not chayiv. And a koyim, if we would say a koyim and a nochri are not chayiv, then you wouldn't know what's the din if a Jew shechts for another Jew. Is the shechet obligated to see to it that the Yisrael HaChayayim Keva is given away? No, that's not his obligation. He was called the Pater Shech, that he did his job and he can go home. It's the obligation of the owner of the behemoth to give the Yisrael HaChayayim Keva. So the Gemara says, the reason why the Mishnah writes it like this, Amar Rav is also Meres, the Mishnah comes to teach you the din, Adin HaMatabach. The obligation to give the Yisrael HaChayayim Keva is mutal on the shechet. Whoever, if the one shechet shechts for a different owner, both Jewish. A Jewish shechet shechts on behalf of a Jewish owner of the animal, he can't just walk away after the shechit and say, it's your responsibility to give the Zerah L'chayah Kev. No, it's the shechet's responsibility. And the Gemara says they learned this out from a pasuk. The Tanaim figured it out from a pasuk. Dorash Rava. So Rava had the following, he was giving a shir on these dinim. So this pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, "Zeh yemish patakone me'esa me'ezevch ha'zevch m'shar m'seh asan lakone hazorah v'halachayim v'hakev." So it says you only take it me'es ha'om from the hamoyin am you take. For lo me'es ha'kohanim, a kohen is not obligated to give. We said that Rav, we said on the bottom of Kufla and Aleph on the base, the last 10 line, Rav had a machlekes hatanaim where the levim are included in the am. So we said, the Levi doesn't have to give Zola Chayayim HaKeva, But if the kohen grabbed it from him, so then it's a shaila and shulchan aruch, whether he has to give it back or he can keep it. Maybe once he grabs it, he can keep it. And you say, "Motzei mecher alav haraya," the levi has no right to force the kohen to surrender it. But the levim are put. But Rabbi didn't go so far with the levim. Rabbi just says, "Meisam v'lo meisakar." If the kohen is the owner of the animal, he's not mechayev to give zvalachayim v'kevet to a different kohen. Not mechayev to give. When the pasuk continues, it sounds like it doesn't matter who's the shaychet. So me'eis ha'am means, well, not me'eis ha'kohanim. If a kohen owns the animal, there's no mitzvah to give away zera l'chayim. Okay. But then it says, me'eis zavcheh ha'zevach, whoever they happen to be, even if he's a kohen. So it sounds like, even if the one who shechts the animal is a kohen, but the owner of the animal is nishkin kohen. If the owner of the animal is not a kohen, and the kohen happens to be the shechet, so the kohen shechet is mechuyev to see to it that they give away the zera l'chayim v'akeva. Because adinim atabach, the obligation to give zera l'chayim v'akeva is mutal on the shechet. The owner of the animal has the right to pick the toivus on which kohen he wants to give it to. But the obligation to see to it that it's taken care of is mutal on the shechet, not on the owner. Whoever they happen to be, even kohanim, even if the shoychet happens to be a kohen, he's still mechuyev, as long as the owner of the behemoth is nishkin kohen. Even if the shoychet is a kohen, and it's the obligation of the shoychet to give the zera l'chayim v'akev. So now the Gemara has a fascinating story. Regular chulin. It's just a matas kuhuna to give it to Kohen.
It's like a rebel at the Kavra. It's at the Shaykh, basically. He doesn't make sure it goes to the right party.
He has to see to it that it goes to a Kohen.
So it's like his rebel only, but the meat, everything else is on
the Shaykh. Yeah, the meat is kosher. He can give it to a Zav. It doesn't have to be eaten by a Kohen. Can be eaten by a non-Kohen as well. The Gemara says, the Gemara is going to quote later, 6-7 lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Bamidbar chapter Yudches. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Matans Kuhuna, it's the next week's Seder in Parshas Korach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all the Matans Kuhuna Lemoshcha. So Lemoshcha has the connotation of Legedula. You should give it to the Kohanim in a Bekovedika fashion. And Kederach Sham Lachem Ochlem, and they should eat the Zralach Hayayim Vakeva in a fancy way. You shouldn't make meatballs out of it. They should make steak, and they should serve the steak with mustard. That's what the Gemara says. It should be tzli u'bechardl. Tzli u'bechardl. Unless the guy doesn't enjoy tzli. Okay? But if he enjoys, that's what Tosis points out. But if he enjoys equally tzli and meatballs and meatloaf, then you should make tzli, make it more bekovedik. It's a chiddush. I would have understood if you say when you eat the chatas and the yoshim, Kohanim eat the chatas and the yoshim, that's a korban. I can understand if you say when he eats the truma has kodesh, it's also lazarim. But the zera l'chayim v'akeva is a big chiddush. The zera l'chayim v'akeva is chulin gemurim. It doesn't have any kedusha. It's muta lazarim. A non-kohen is allowed to eat them. Nonetheless, the Gemara says beferish. The din of lemoshcha l'gedula, kedash amloch mochlim, even applies to zera l'chayim v'akeva. It is a big chiddush. It is a problematic. Rashi on Omer Aleph. Take a look on the bottom of Amun Aleph Kuflam and Beis Amun Aleph. Four lines from the bottom. The line in Rashi ends off. She ain't kedusha chola al kedusha. Rashi is trying to explain. Let's say there was a bechor behema tahira. I have a farm, and a cow gives birth to the first vlad, and it's a male. So it's a kodesh, even mizmanazah, it's kodesh be'elof, when it's born, even a chutzlot. There are Jewish farmers in America whose behemoths give birth. And then they go and they sell it to the slaughterhouse. And then the shechet is shechting in Iowa, or wherever, in New Jersey. He doesn't even know. They're shechting kachem b'chutz. He's shechting a chor behemoth Torah. You have to make sure that it's not a Bechor Behemoth Torah. So it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that if a Jewish, it says in the Taisvus, all the Rishon, says in the Big Shulchan Aruch, and it says in the Kitzur, that if a Jewish farmer sees that his cow is about to give birth to the first blood, it doesn't have the Ruach HaKadosh to know whether it's going to be a male or a female. It may turn out to be a male. If it's going to be a male, then it's going to cause him big problems. He can't shecht it till he gets a mum. And he's not allowed to make a mum. and he can't use it to do any malacha for him. It's also the giz of avodah. And it could be that he's going to have to wait a few years till he gets a mum. You're not allowed to let the b'chor, you're not allowed to put the b'chor beim Torah in a barn where you have barbed wire on the side to make sure that he's going to get a mum. You're not allowed to cause it to get a mum. You're not allowed to cause it to get a mum. It could take 10 years till he gets a mum. It could take forever. The Mishnah B'choris tells such a story that there was a Goyish policeman. He used to walk right in front of the Jewish-owned farm. And he saw that the Jewish farmer never did any work with one cow. So he asked the Jewish person, "Is that a holy cow? How come you don't use that cow to do it?" He said, "Yeah, it's a holy cow." Why you believe in holy cows? He said, "Yeah, it's a b'chor b'ei meter, and it says in the Bible that it's a carbon. So what are you going to do with it?" So he says, "I have to wait till it gets a moon." So he says, "So why don't you make a moon? What's the problem?" He said, "No, I'm not allowed to make a moon." So the Goyish policeman took a knife and he cut the lip, he cut the ear of the b'chor. He made a din ha'tayva, he made him a mum. So the din is, if the Jewish person made the mum on purpose, or he asked the goy to make the mum for him, that you're not allowed to shecht it based on that mum. You have to wait till it develops another mum on its own. So here the Mishnah discusses, was it the fault of the Jewish farmer? He didn't mean to imply to the goy, "Please make a mum." The guy was asking him questions. He was giving the straight answers. "I'm not allowed to make a mesich lefituma." The Jew was just mesich lefituma over here. So the Mishnah discusses, do you consider it the fault of the Jewish farmer, and he can't shech the b'chor based on that mum, or do you have to wait till it gets another mum? So it's going to be a problem. Sometimes it'll take 5-10 years till it gets a mum by itself. So that's why the Balei HaTosfos in the beginning of Pchoros recommend that the Jewish farmer should always make a shutfus for the guy. He doesn't have to be 50-50 shutif, as long as they're shutif in something. As long as the non-Jew is a shutif in an insignificant part, either of the mother or of the Uber, either the mother or the Uber, is good enough to remove the whole problem. So that's what you're supposed to do today. That's what the Jewish farmers are supposed to do today, when their behemoths are about to give birth for the first time, and they turn out to be a zachar. So you have to make a shut for sakum to make sure that they shouldn't have an asik with a b'chor b'ei meter.
Why can't you make a shut for achalim?
Once it's born, so it already has kedusha as b'chor b'ei meter, so it's farfal. It already has the kedusha. You got to wait till it gets a mum by itself. So you have to make the shut with the goy quickly before it gives birth. When you see it's about to give birth, you got to hurry up. Yeah. So the Gemara tells the whole story. There was an Amora by the name of Rav Tavla. It sounds like it happened in Bavel. Here it's about the 8 lines from the top of Kuflam and Beis on Beis. Ush Pizachne the Rav Tavla, the landlord of Rav Tavla. Rav Tavla was staying by him. So the landlord was a kohen. Ba'avidochik lei milsa. He was a poor man. He didn't really make a parnasa. Also the kamei the Rav Tavla. So he asked Rav Tavla, "What can I do to make a parnasa? What should I do to make a living?" Amale, I'll give you an idea. Zil ishtate behadi tapchi Yisrael. Go all the shochtim. This story happened in Babel. So obviously, the practice was in the days of the Gemara that they did give Zwal HaChayim Akeva even in Babel, even Chutzlars. So what does Rashi say that no galma the minig is that you don't give? So Tosi says Rashi is wrong. What's Rashi going to say? So apparently Rashi thinks the Gemara's lashon there at Kuflam Edvav on the base. Where was it? Ha'idna no galma. Now, as we stand today, the minig is, means this story happened a few generations ago. Rav Nachman was in the earlier generations. And the later generation says, ha'idna. When we're going to print, we're printing the Talmud Bavli, we're writing down Talmud Bavli, so now the minig is that the Harit Lasoi. The minig developed after this story. That's how Rashi understood the Gemara. So the Gemara tells, again, so there was a Kohen, was the landlord of Rav Tavla, and he was a poor man, he had no parnasa. Yes, Rav Tavla, you have any suggestions, how can I make a living? So he says, I'll tell you an idea. Go to all of the slaughterhouses. Whoever's going to shecht an animal has to give Zohar L'chayyav HaKeva to the Kohanim. It's $500 worth of flesh. They have to give away a matana. So you volunteer to them that you'll become a shutif in the behemah. They're not going to ask you to pay $500 to become a shutif. When you'll become a shutif, they'll save themselves $500. So you say you want to become a shutif for $10. So they'll be happy to take $10 from you, and they'll save $490.
To the kohen.
The kohen is going to become a $10 shutif in the animal before you shecht it, and this will pata the balabas. So the kohen can say, "Well, I only want to buy it for $10." Okay, so they'll be happy. They'll be happy to make a deal with you. Yeah. Why will they be happy to make a deal? The migu, the niftari, mi matanta, because they'll be potter from giving the $500 worth of zvanach ayam akeva, nishtatvi ba'adach. They'll be very happy to make a shutas with you. So you make some money like this. You become a shutif, and they'll have to give you some of the flesh, and they'll give you some extra. You make some money. So that's what Rav Tavla was in Amoira, that I never heard of. Rav Tavla was apparently not as great as the others. So this was the Eitzah Toivah. This is a harama. We do a harama all the time. We sell the chametz to the goy. That's also a harama. In English, we call that a legal fiction. I'm not really interested in selling the chametz to the goy, but I don't want to violate by Rabbi Matzah. So I sell the chametz to the goy and I leave it in my house. So that's a legal fiction. So do we permit legal fictions or not? So Mechiras Chametz, we do permit. The Nesivis in the 1800s, he was the one who approved of the Mechiras Chametz. Before his time, they only had Mechiras Chametz. Tasefta has the institution of Mechiras Chametz. A guy's going on a boat, on a long trip, and each person has to bring his own food. And so he has some Chametz on the boat with him. And if he's going to throw the Chametz into the ocean, so what's he going to eat after Pesach? On Pesach, he'll eat some fruits and vegetables. What's going to eat after Pesach? It's going to be another couple of weeks traveling. So the Tosefta says, let him sell the chametz to another goy on the boat, and after Pesach, he'll buy it back. Because he can't throw it out in the ocean. He needs bread to eat after Pesach is over. So that's a harama. When we do Mechiras Chametz, that's a harama in order to avoid violation of the Avera by Rabbi Motzeh. But the mitzvah of Tashbisa we do fulfill. We sell 99% of the chametz. We have a house full of chametz. We put it in the cabinets. We sell 99% of the chametz. Then 1% of the chametz we do burn. So we fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa on 1% of the chametz. So we kaim the mitzvah of Tashbisa. So the harama, the legal fiction that we do, is in order to avoid violation of the aver bal yirah by motz, not in order to pater ourselves from the mitzvah. Mitzvah Tashbisa we do fulfill. We burn a little bit of, we burn a couple of kezesim of chametz. What about selling Eretz Yisrael to avoid the mitzvah of observance of Shemitah? So that the Chazanish and many other Gedolim are very opposed to. That's a harama. There's a mitzvah, v'shav saharet, Shabbos Lashem. Whoever owns a field in Eretz Yisrael, when it comes Shnas HaShemitah, is a mitzvah to leave the field fallow, not to do any avodas hakarka. So you sell it to the Nochri. You sell it to the goy, if you hold it helps. That's even a question whether it helps. Even if it does help, but you're using a haram, a legal fiction, in order to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. As things are standing now, the farm belongs to you, so you have the mitzvah to leave it fallow. Shabbos Shabbos Lashem. So that's what Taisus draws that distinction. The beginning of Chorus and of Gimel on Beis, Taisus draws the distinction between a haram, using a legal fiction, Bizban HaMikdosh. You're not allowed to make a shutvus with a goy to avoid the din of b'chor b'emetor. Because b'zman ha-migdush, if it's a b'chor, you give it to the kohen, it's makrid, it is a korban. So if you're going to make a harama to make a shutvus with a goy to pati yourself, you're using a legal fiction to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. But b'zman she'en beis ha-migdush kayam, the motivation to make a shutvus with a goy is not in order to avoid the mitzvah. You can't fulfill the mitzvah anyway. You can't be makrevet on his bech. The motivation is because you're afraid you're going to violate the avera of lasav b'chor sharecha or lasagas b'chor tzenecha. So that's what Tosis draws the distinction that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it's no longer prohibited to make a shut for sakum on a Bayim HaMavakeris, because that's a harame to avoid violation of an aveira. So over here, so this Rav Tavla, whom we never heard of, this Rebbe Tavla, sounds like he had smicha, Rebbe Tavla, that's what it says. But it's the whole story happened in Bavel, because Rav Nachman is here. Rav Nachman didn't have smicha. Rav Nachman is a more prominent name than Rav Tavla. So Rabbi Tavla told his Kohen landlord, why don't you go to the owners of animals who are going to shecht it, and they'll make a deal, they'll make a shutvis with you, shutvis Kohen, patas from Zerah L'Chayim, can you make a couple of dollars? So Rav Nachman heard this story, and Rav Nachman, he didn't consult Rav Tavla, he tells the balabos, you're obligated to give the Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva to the Kohen. Chivei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said it doesn't help. He's still mechuyev to give the Zerah L'Chayim. He's using a legal fiction to pater himself of a mitzvah, and that's not right. Omalei, so the balabas, the kohen, says to Rav Nachman, but I asked Rav Tavla, my tenant. He was the landlord. He was with Shpizachne, the Rav Tavla. So he says, I asked my tenant, Rabbi Tavla, for her Rabbi Tavla patron, he told me I'm potter, it's a legitimate thing, I can use this harama, I can do this. Amalei, you're wrong. Rav Nachman was a tough cookie. Amalei zil apik, go give the Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva, and if you don't give it, v'ilai, and if you don't give it to the Kohen, metikna lach Rav Tavla me'oynach, I'll put you in cherem. That's what that expression usually means. I will take Rav Tavla away from supporting you, means I'll put you on the cherem. Rav Nachman used to speak like that. Rav Nachman was a chasdan abed nasi, I think. He was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. So the police always did whatever he said, the police always backed him up. The Jewish police. So Oz Rav Tavla kameh, Rav Nachman. So the rabbi, Rav Tavla, who told this Kohen Balabas this exit, comes to Rav Nachman and says, my time over and my ochid, why did you tell the Balabas that he has to give Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva? It's a shutfus koyin. The Mishnah says shutfus koyin, you're not mechuyev to give. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, no, that's the halacha. The chiyosa, because chiyosa Ravach Rav Chanina midar Roma, a rabbi came from Eretz Yisrael, from the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Omar, so he told us the following quotation. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, v'chol zikne dorem, all the rabbonim in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, said the following din. Omar, koyin tabach, if the kohen becomes a shutef in the shechita, they made such a haram. The kohen becomes a shutef. So shtayim, if a kohen owns the behemah, sometimes kohen mind the business. The other man says he's potter. But if the kohen is a shutef in the business for real, then he's potter. That's the mishnah. But if they just did, they made the kohen a shutef as a haram, as a legal fiction. So he says kohen tabach. The first 2 or 3 weeks, that's stuck in the din, that you don't have to give Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva, shutfus koin. But mikan li'elach, after the 3rd week, chay b'matonis. That's already becoming a dover kavua. So this, you're using a harome as a dover kavua to pater you from a mitzvah, that's not right. And that's what the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael paskin like that. So Omalei, so Rav Tavla says, so why don't you follow what they said? You bopped him over the head the 1st week. He didn't even let him do it for 2-3 weeks. He said, well, the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael said, the 1st 2-3 weeks, it's okay. You said over in his name, Abach Rav Chanina came from Eretz Yisrael, from Darom, and he said the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi. The other Rabbanim, the 1st 2-3 weeks, it is good. So why did you make him give even the 1st week's up the name? That's, if he didn't open up, officially, a butcher shop. With all the other, there's a mall, a shopping mall, and they have butcher shops. So the Kohen Shutev is selling his share. He made a deal. Kohen Shutev is selling his share privately. That's if the Kohen didn't open up a butcher shop on the mall together with everybody else. Then 2-3 weeks, we'll let him get away with it. But after that, we put our foot down, we don't allow the haroma. What do you mean? The guy from day number one. He opens up a butcher shop in the middle of the shopping center, and the kohen is selling the flesh that he made a deal on, so that we put our foot down even the 1st week. Om Rav Chizde, so Rav Chizde is saying the same as Rav Nachman said. Hai kahana de la mafresh matanto, if a kohen doesn't give zvara chayayin v'hakeva, it means this kind of a shtick. If the kohen is doing a harama in order not to have to give zvara chayayin v'hakeva, lehevi bishamta de la keiso, we put him in chere, we put him in nidui. Yeah, on the side of the Gemara, they tell you to look in the Rambam. The Gemara says in one place that there are 24 averis for which the Bezdin puts people in nidui. But the Gemara never lists off what the 24 are. So the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah and Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Dalet, collected from all over Shas. He collected all the 24 places. So this is one of the 24. If a Kohen uses this shtick, becomes a shutif in order to pater the Yisraelim from giving Zvach Hayam V'akeva, and Mameli doesn't give a Matan Skuna. So if he does that shtick, we put him in Cherem. Levi b'shamta de la keiso. We put him in Cherem. Cherem is a curse that the person should drop dead. The Gemara says the word Cherem is Oisias Ramach. It's a curse that creeps in, that seeps into the Ramach Ivorim. And if the person was put into Cherem, Nidui, because of an Aver, then he does tshuva, then we mata the Cherem, so we consider that that's a curse he should drop dead. So we consider it like a Tchias HaMeisim. We take off the curse, so he should not drop dead. But if a person was put in cherem, and then Misha Meis b'niduyo, it doesn't put someone in nidui a cherem, and then he died, and they never removed the cherem, so the din is that the children don't observe avelis, we treat it like harugi bezin. We treat them like harugi bezin. And bezin sokla mesarono, they put a big slab of stone on his coffin when they're taking it to bury, and they put a big slab of stone on top of his kever to demonstrate as if he deserved skilo. As if he's from the Harugi Bezin, that's in Shulchan Aruch. Once a blazer silver in Cincinnati, he was a very colorful personality.
What does he put on top again?
A big stone.
Big stone.
A big stone to demonstrate that the person really deserved skilo. Mises Bezin. So once there was a man in Cincinnati, a wealthy balabas, whose wife took sick and she had to be put into an institution, he couldn't take care of her. And he wanted to remarry, so he got permission from the government to remarry. But he never got a het to marry Rabban. So he went and he remarried. So Rav Lezer Silverstone told him, you did you like you didn't, you have to get it. He didn't care, he didn't bother. So this balabas ultimately died. So Rav Lezer Silver had them, when it was time for his funeral, so he had them take the coffin in a convertible sedan, and they opened up the rooftop, and they had a big slab of stone on top of the coffin to demonstrate Cherem de Rabbein Geshen. He violated the Cherem de Rabbein Geshen. The Pashto says that it, as Rav Lezer Silver, he was colorful. The Pashto says, Shulchan Aruch, the Cherem was over 778 years ago. It was over in the year 5000. The Gemara says it was the Cherem was Atzof Elok till the end, till the year 5000. I remember when I was a little boy before Bar Mitzvah, so they were writing in the newspapers, the Cherem Rabbein Geshem is soon going to be over. Because they thought the Cherem was for 8,000 years. 1,000 years from the day the Cherem was made. It wasn't for 1,000 years. It's till the year 5,000. I'd say for Aleph. He couldn't look into the future, what's going to be another 900 years. You don't make a Cherem if you don't know. He knew what's going to be in the next 150 years. So he made a Cherem for 150 years. Didn't make a Cherem for 1,000 years.
Yeah. All of his
charonim
are like that, or just...
No. All the others, you're not allowed to eat someone else's mail, you're not allowed to give a get to your wife al karcha. That charim is even today. They have all list in Yeridah, they have all list of all the charonim of the Rabbeinu Gershom. All the others are still binding. But the charim not to be nice to Isha al Ishtoi, that was societal, because the society was such that it was frowned upon by the goyim. So you can't allow the Jews to have more than one wife if the goyim think that it's not a decent thing, it's not a moral thing to do. So he said we shouldn't do it. Calls him on that the goyim don't allow it. In another 200 years, we'll think it over again, whether yes or no.
Why do we base our morality on what goyim thinks is moral?
We have our own system of morality, but we can't be lower than whatever the goyim thinks of. The goyim think that something is immoral, so then you're not allowed to do it.
Why don't we just say they're wrong? We have a religion and they make up their religion.
We know that they're wrong. We know that they're wrong. But still, if the goyim consider it an improper thing, take for example, to eat Besar Odom. That's a Jewish person dies. So Meisei is also Bahano. What if a non-Jewish person dies? So strictly speaking, Meisei Akum, Amuta Bahano. Is it Muta Bahilo? So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam holds that there's an Issa Esse, you're not allowed to eat Bisar Adam. Cannibalism. You're not allowed to eat Bisar Adam. Because it says, Ezet Tochlu. Ezet Tochlu, only this and not other things, an Issa Rase. And the Ramban says, it can't be, there's no Issa Rase, it's a Hetagoma. It's Muta to eat Bisar Adam. So would anybody say, according to the Ramban, you're allowed to eat Bisar Adam today? So he said, no, since by the Ummah Soilam it's considered a serious Adera, so it cannot be that the Goyim are more careful about morality and decency than the Jews. So whatever they think is immoral or indecent, so we shouldn't do it either. Shaila is if you're on a desert island and you have a choice of either there's a person died, you can either eat the Bisar Adam, which the worst it could be is an Issa Rase. Or you can eat the sign of Ela, which is an Issa Lav. So whenever a person's life is in danger, and mitam pikuach nefesh, we allow him to violate an Avera. So the Gemara says, Machila Masa Hakala Kalchila. You try to violate the lesser of the two evils. If you have to do an Avera anyway, so you try to violate the least Avera. So the Pashta says you should eat the Bisar Adam as opposed to eating the Bisar of Ela. So there was a great Hungarian guy, and he was the rabbi in Kloisenberg. He was a great grandson of the Chasam Sofer. He was the first one named in the family, named after the Chasam Sofer, after he died. His name was Moshe Glasner, I think his name was. He was a big Zionist, and he gave up his rabbanus, and he wasn't the Kloisenberg rabbi, he was the rabbi in Kloisenberg. Kloisenberg is in Hungary. So he gave up his rabbanus in order to move to Eretz Yisrael, way before Hakamas HaMedina, way before. So he has a Sefer on Chulin. His Sefer is called Dor Revi, because he's the fourth generation of the Chasam Sefer, and he's the first one named, his first great-grandchild named after the Chasam Sefer. That's his Yichus. But it's a nice Sefer on Chulin. It has a very nice, open-minded, very modern style of a lot of times, like we said, at the Teres Yankov, a lot of times is not happy with Teisus. He also, he's not embarrassed, he's not afraid to say he disagrees with the Tosafot. A very nice Sefer. So the Hakdamah to the Sefer on Chulin is really an introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. Like the Prima Gadim wrote the Psicha Kalelis Dor HaChaim is really an introduction, general introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. So this Dor Revi also has. So he speaks about very interesting topics. So he has this Shaila. If the fellow's on a desert island and he has to eat some non-kosher food in order to keep alive and he has a choice, either eating the Bisar Adam or eating the Bisar Nevela. So he thinks that since Bisar Adam, cannibalism is considered so contemptible by the Ummah Soilam, that's considered more chomer than the Nevela. And others disagree with him. They think, no, it depends what the Halacha says. The Halacha says that Nevela is a loisesi. We agree we shouldn't be cannibals, we shouldn't eat Bisar Adam, because by the Ummah Soilam it's assumed to be improper, but it does make it more chomer than eating the Nevela. Yeah.
Psychologically, you wouldn't want to eat Bisar Adam, you'd rather eat a Nevela.
It's an animal.
Yeah.
So you eat an animal. Yeah.
They told me this was a machlokes in Yeshiva and Etzion. The Rav Amital was an Ungarisha, and he was once saying over this Hakdama to the Dor Revi, and Rabban Lichtenstein took his he didn't like it at all. He thought it's against the din. He thought Machila Masa Akala Kal Tchila depends on what Halacha says. Halacha says that the Nevela is more chomer than Bisar Adam. The Satmar Rebbe held that this Dor Revi was an Apikeres because he was a Zionist. By definition, you have to be an Apikeres. But this is before Hakamas HaMedina, way before Hakamas HaMedina also. Whoever has a shmek of a Zionism, shayna apikeres. But the Sefer is a good Sefer. Sefer Dor Revi on Chulin, very good Sefer.
Aren't they cycle the Aron of Rav
Eliezer
ben Purkis? After he died, because they put him in
Cherem,
and then...
They said, Hutar Aneda. After he died, they said, Hutar Aneda. So what's the relevance of Hutar Aneda? He's dead already. So it's Hutar Aneda that there shouldn't be Soklam Esaron. Misha Meiz Ben Iduyo, Bezdan Soklam Esaron, or they put a slab of stone on top. So when Blazer Ben Hurkanis died, so they didn't want to be Mevazim. So they said, let's be Mata the Neder, Hutar Aneda, so we won't have to be Soklam Esaron. That was the reason why they wanted to be matter, the needle, yeah. So the Rambam quotes this. The Rambam collects all the 24 places in Shas. The Gemara says you put people in Cherem. And this is one of the 24. This is number 10. Each one has a number, 1, 2, 3, till 24. So this is number 10 on the list in the Rambam. This is the source, this Gemara. Each one of the 24 has a Gemara. Each one is a Gemara. He collected all the Gemaras from all of Shas. It's a Bekiyas. The Gemara never says which the 24 are. The Gemara just says the 24 issues because of which they put a person in Nidui. So the Gemara says, Ani tapchi duhutzal, Omer Rabba Barav Shela, Hani tapchi duhutzal, the shochtim in the city Hutzal, Hutzal is the city in Bavel, Kaimi bishamta the Rav Chizda Esv Matartim Shem. They have already been in Cherem for 22 years. Because they did the shtick. They used to have Kohanim become Shutfim, like we do Mechiras Chametz. So they made a Shutfis with a Kohen, who wasn't really in the business. They did it in order to pattern themselves. So they have been in Cherem for 22 years. It's a curse, they should drop dead. They didn't drop dead yet. He says, for 22 years, what was the significance of Rabba Bar Rav Shela to mention that his 22 years have gone by and they're still in Cherem? E Lema, what did he have up his sleeve? If he should say, Sula Mishamtina Lu, they were suffering Cherem for 22 years, they didn't learn a lesson. The whole reason why he put someone in Cherem, why do you give a curse that a guy should drop dead? Because he wanted to learn his lesson, he should do tshuva. 22 years they didn't do tshuva, so what are we wasting our time? So we should already take off the Cherem and forget about the whole thing. So the Gemara says, no, if you should say that the reason why Rabbi Barab Shela said 22 years means the Tzulot Mishamtina, we should no longer continue to put in the Cherem, because we're not getting anywhere by the Cherem. The Cherem is based on the idea, Bez de Makli Yonshin Shaloi Meradin. The Gemara says, Shamati, I heard there's a tradition, Torah Shabbat Peh, Allah Mashimasina Bezna has the right to give Malkus on Misa or Cherem or Kansa to penalize someone to take away their money, Hefke Bezna Hefke, Shaloi Meradin, but it's only if it's Lamigda Milsa, only if you think you're going to gain something by it. So for 22 years we put them in Cherem, we didn't get anywhere, they didn't budge. They're still doing the same shtick. So maybe we should stop putting them in Cherem. The Gemara says, no, you don't do that. I have a Tanya, we have a Braisa. That there's a difference, this is a very difficult price. There's a famous price that says it's in Ksubas Pevov. Everybody knows it from Ksubas, they don't know it from Chulin. The price sounds like it's distinguishing between a mitzvah sese and a mitzvah sloy sese. So the price says, when does the halacha say that you only give a person malchus aboyim and that's all? The mitzvah sloy sese. A person did an averis, he give him malchus aboyim and that's all. 39 times malchus. And you call it quits. Avol be mitzvah sesei, but if the person is obligated to put on tefillin, he doesn't want to wear tefillin. Obligated to sit in sukkah, he doesn't want to. Obligated to eat matzah, he doesn't want to. Avol be mitzvah sesei kigon. Amar lei asei sukkah. Pashup shat not asei sukkah. Build a sukkah means sit in the sukkah. Pashup shat. Some say that it means build a sukkah, but the pashup shat is asei sukkah means do the mitzvah of sukkah by sitting in sukkah. They know he doesn't want the lulav. Shake a lulav, very nice. He doesn't want to. I say tzitzis. He's wearing a four-corner garment that doesn't have any tzitzis. So he's supposed to put on tzitzis. If he's wearing you're not obligated to wear a four-corner garment in order to be chayvin tzitzis. But he's wearing the four-corner garment without tzitzis. If we tell him put on tzitzis, and he says he doesn't want to, then makanoso, we don't give him 39 times malchus. We keep on hitting him till he's going to agree to do the mitzvah or till he drops dead. Makanoso, achetetze nafsho, till he drops dead. That's the push-up shot, till he drops dead. Rav Chaim Heller, some of you probably remember Rav Chaim Heller. Rav Chaim Heller wrote a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, Laharam, he has footnotes on the bottom. So he quotes the Shita Mukubetzes in Ksubas Daf Pevav, a modern Shita Mukubetzes. Achetetze Napsha means till he becomes unconscious. You keep on hitting him, whipping him, until he faints. He says, I'm not going to put on film, you keep on hitting him. Once he faints, so he has no b'chira chavshes anymore. He can't say, put on the tefillin. So what do you keep on hitting him for? So that's what the Shita Mukubetz has such. It's an interesting interpretation. Achetetze nafsho doesn't mean till he drops dead, it means till he becomes unconscious. So then you have no right to hit him anymore. Okay. Usually everybody reads all the Shittim Kubetzes in the first three Prokim and Ksuvas. Whoever reads on that paper, but Rav Chaim Allen knew all the Shittim Kubetzes.
So by Tzitzis I understand, but by something like Tefillin, can't he just say, I'll do it in 2 minutes, I'll do it in 2 minutes, I'll do it in 2 minutes, and then the Maisik never does it, but he can always...
That's what he does. So we say, you better put it on the Tefillin soon, because the day is going to come to an end. It's going to be the Shkia. You have another 12 hours. So every hour we want him, when we say, we're gonna beat you up, we want you to put on the Tefillin. So he doesn't do it, you keep on hitting him.
Yeah, but Tetzei Nafsho usually means until he dies.
Like usually, another
So how could the Shita Mekubetz give an alternative?
Okay. He thinks over here, does it make sense that you hit him until he drops dead? Once he becomes unconscious, you have no right to hit him anymore. The heta to hit him is to pressure him, to force him that he should give in, to do tshuva.
Maybe it means even until he drops.
Probably. It says you don't even need smuchim, and it says you don't even need a bezin of rabbis, the zayin tuvi hoir. In Breuers, there are 7 members of the board, they have zayin tuvi, so they have the power to give the death penalty. It says chosh mishpah, siman beis, the zayin tuvi hoir, if they feel that it's of value, they feel it's necessary. People are carrying in the Erev. There's an Erev in Washington Heights, and Breuers people don't hold from the Erev. So if they decide they want to teach people a lesson, they want to give the death penalty to someone who's carrying in the Erev, which they're not Goyres, and they think it'll help. It won't help. The Ruba of the Shomer Shabbos who live in Washington Heights are carrying in the Erev. So if they would think that it would help to give the death penalty to one person, so then they would have the right to give the death penalty. If it's a valid cause, the question is, it a valid cause that you should prevent the people from carrying that? All over the world, everybody's making eruvin. The Breuers have this bug in their head. They don't hold from eruvin.
Do you have a special miso? Would that be double-ended dollar misos or any kind of miso?
Any miso. Fakert, there's a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara Sanhedrin tells that one of the Amoraim gave Sreifa to a Baskoin Shazinsa. And he burnt her at the stake. He burnt her alive. So the Gemara says he made 2 mistakes. First of all, b'zman she'in beis hamikdash kaim, you don't administer din in the nefashos at all. And secondly, misa sreifa is not that you burn the person. You pour melted lead down the throat and you burn out the kishkas. That's called sreifa. Neshama b'guf kaim, you don't burn the whole body. So the Mashal has a famous comment on that Gemara. The Mashal on the bottom of the Mashal. This is in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis. And there's a Tshuvas Maharam Lublin, who lived also at the same time. He also writes the same pshat as the Mashal. Interesting, they both say the same. He said, one kasha of the Gemara for emphasis the other. He says, he gave the death penalty, Bizman Hazeh, because Bezim Makam Yanshin Shalom Menadin. He thought there was a lot of preachers. He thought by putting the girl to death, she was an Eshes Ish, a Baskan Shazim, she was an Eshes Ish. He thought there was a lot of preachers, and if he'll put her to death, this will help the people will see, and they'll learn a lesson, there won't be so much pieces going on. So whenever it's a din, a bezim akum yanshin shalai manadin, you shouldn't give the Mises bezim the way it's supposed to be. Because the real Mises bezim is supposed to be only bezman shabbis amigdash ha'ikami, you have a Sanhedrin, Yeshua mim kaimon. So you should be dafke go not to give the real Mises bezim. That's what the Maharam in the Tshuva writes, and the Marshal, they both say the same thing. And then there's such a Ravid, the Ravid has Hasogas on the Rif, starting in the fourth Perek in Ksubis. So the Ravid in the fourth Perek quotes from the Tshuva Sargainim, that the Knasas of Einis and Mefatim, or Tshema, nothing applies Bizman Hazeh, because nobody has any Smicha, so you can't be Mechayv Soma Knasas. You don't say Shlichusai, we have no right to Paskan on Knasas. So the Goyim say, but the Bezin can say that the girl doesn't have to forgive him. The boy was ma'anasar, or mafatahar, or moitzi shemra, whatever. So she doesn't have to be moichel him unless he pays her an amount of money. She has the right, so the Bezin has the right to say, teach the guy a lesson. Tell him you're not moichel him for the avla that he did until he's going to pay you an amount of money. So then the Goyim say, but the Bezin shouldn't say he should pay 50 shkolim or 100 shkolim by Anas and Fatima. That's what the Torah says you pay. They should say more or less. It shouldn't be the exact amount. And whenever it's Bez Makam Yanshin Shleim and Adin, so you shouldn't do exactly the same as what the Din says. Because you're not following the din. It's shalemen adin. There's no knas bizman in this. It should be a different amount, either more or less. It should be a different form of sreifa, not the correct form of sreifa. So that idea is shared. The Ramah quotes that too. The Ramah quotes that Shuvus Hagadah. That if you want to penalize the guy, you can't make him pay knas bizman in this, but you can tell him the girl or the one who is ba'avol, the nizik, doesn't have to be moichel unless you pay an amount of money. So the Ramah quotes it. The person should make him pay more or less, but not the same amount of money. So the Gemara says, no, these people were a nidoy for 22 years. There's no such idea that we should stop. No, we'll continue to leave them a nidoy. Makanosach takes an option. We're trying to pressure them that they should observe the mitzvah properly, so we're going to continue to put them in nidoy. So what was the relevance of saying that they were in nidoy? The shochtim in Hutzal, in the city Hutzal, were nidoy for 22 years. Such a long time. So the Ella on the first wide line, Ella, what he meant to say was the kansinlu below asriyosa. Usually, if you want to penalize a person, you should warn him in advance. If you don't shape up, we're gonna penalize you. We're gonna make you give $100,000 to charity, or to donate $100,000 to the Kohanim. You've been cheating them all the years on the Zorah Chayam Akev from all the behemoths. So here, since for 22 years they were in cherem and it didn't bother them. So the kansinu below asriyosa, we have the right to penalize them, to give a knas, without having hasra in advance. And the Gemara says, we know, kiho, like this case that happened, the Rabbi Kanis Akma, Rabbi had such a character who wasn't giving Zerala Chayav Akev, who wasn't right, said, penalize may have to give a whole Akma, a whole half of the animal to the Kohanim, to make up for all the Zerala Chayav Akev that he hadn't given for years. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kanis Galima, he made a guy give away an expensive glima, expensive jacket, an expensive shirt that he had. Okay. Then the Gemara is going to continue. Interesting, Gemara. The Gemara is going to continue with the dinam of Blina the next week. We won't finish every Gemara. We'll wrap up the Perek. And then next year after the summer, we'll have to start the Anu Mesichta.
So how can they do it marriage as well today?
It's a good question. Why don't they give? I don't know. My impression is that they don't give the Zerala Chayav Akev and make a shutfus for the Kohen. So the Gemara says that's not right. Unless you have a Kohen who's willing to put up a lot of money to become a real shutf, okay, that's legitimate. But if it's just a shutfus of a harama, a legal fiction, that's not right. Of Goldwicht, Zechon Lebracha, the Rosh Hashim in Karmi Yavna, was very fond of saying over Adrosha and Parsha Shlach that the Zohar has a comment, what motivated the Meraglim to discourage everyone from going to Eretz Yisrael? They came to Eretz Yisrael, a wonderful country. The other said, Tova Haaretz Miyod Miyod, it's beautiful. So what was bothering them? So the Zohar makes a comment that they realized if they'll come into Eretz Yisrael, they won't have this and Hoga Nisus that they had the whole time in the Midbar. There was bun coming down in Hashemayim, and the people they didn't have to work for a living. So the Medrash has an expression, "Nitnan Torah le'Loach le'Haman." People who live on the man, lechem in Hashemayim, they can sit and learn all day long. But most people have to work for a living, so they can't sit and learn. So they wanted l'shem Shemayim. They wanted to maintain the status like in the Midbar, status quo. The man should continue. They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. The man should continue to flow down in Hashemayim, that people won't have to work for a living. And they realize, go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to become farmers, because what else in the Titan call it's macho? Going to have to plant trees, going to have animals, raise animals, and do physical labor, make a parnasa. And that's what the Rebbe Shlom was upset. He has malachim. Rebbe Shlom has malachim. He wants us to be human beings. He wants us to be oisik and parnasa. And that's a famous medrash on the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Ki Savoy al Haaretz. When a titan call Eitz Maichon, you plant the fruit-bearing trees, so that whatever fruits grow the first 3 years, Abedin Avarlo Tosu Bachilo Asu Bano. So the medrash has a comment that we're halachta bedrocha, we have to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing wrong with being a farmer. Mahu Afato, just like when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, it says, Vayita Gan Mi'ed Mekedem, the Rebbeinu Shalom was Oisik in the Tiyah, he planted trees in Gan Eden. So when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we should plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing wrong with being Isaac Parnos. You don't have Hamich Kulam Tzadikim, everyone can sit in the Kulam and learn. That's for the Midbar. That was for 40 years in the Midbar. But it's time that Rabbi Shalom wanted the Kufa of the Midbar, so he wanted all the people to lead normal lives. So that was the sin of the Meragim. They wanted to continue. They saw that this Anhaga Nisus is going to terminate as soon as they come to Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't want to go. They wanted to discourage everyone from going. They wanted to stay in Bavel. So that was Kerem Yavna was the first Hesdi Yeshiva. So that's what Rav Goldlich used to speak about that. That there's nothing wrong with or working for a living. There's nothing wrong with joining the army. He used to always discuss, is Hesda Lachatchila, is Hesda B'riyadah? So he said, of course it's B'riyadah. Who wants Muhammad? Muhammad's B'riyadah. We don't want Muhammad Lachatchila. But we live in a world that you need an army. You have no prayer. So that the need for a Hesda is Fashteitzach is B'riyadah. Lachatchila, not Lachatchila, you don't want a Hesda because you want people to learn all day long. No, we want people to work for a living. A couple of people have to sit and learn to Paskan all the Shabbos. But the Hamaynam should work for a living. But the Hezda to have men in the army, all armies are Fashteitz of Midian. He was quite a personnel.
Russia, 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 Russ